Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, William Liu, speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors get swept by the Detroit Pistons by a score, losing their third game to the Pistons within the last calendar month by a score of 118-104. Look, listen, the Raptors are down bad. They're really down bad. You know, I was talking to my good friend Blake Murphy, of course, the absolute best to ever cover the Raptors of The Athletic. Check out his work. Of course, you know who Blake is. But anyway, I was talking to my good friend Blake before this game. We were having like a, you know, distance hang with some beers and stuff like that. And, you know, of course, we chatted Raptors. And you know, we didn't even talk about tonight's game, really. It didn't really matter to us. But, you know, I kind of just like asked him, you know, before we left. I was like, yo, there's no way they're winning tonight, right? And he's like, no, there's no way. And yeah, I mean, you know, that's just a tough place to be in when, like, you know, me and Blake, we're probably two of the most, like, obsessed people about the Raptors specifically. But two of the most obsessed watchers of the Raptors. I mean, obviously, it's our job, so I'm not saying this. I mean, although we would do it anyway. But still, don't tell my employer. But it's got to be a really bad place to be in when two of the most obsessed people about the team immediately look at a game against the Pistons and just say, there's no way they're winning. And this was before Kyle was announced that he was in. I mean, Kyle was barely in. He clearly did not look 100%. Didn't really impact this game. Didn't really play much. Yeah, it's the Raptors are just down bad. I mean, you know, of course, circumstances are not good. Back-to-back, things like this, that's never easy. You know, they have some circumstances going against them. I guess some guys are out. I mean, not really the most important guys. They did have the most important guys. It's just they didn't have it in them. And it was clear from the start when the first play of the game, I think Sabin Lee drove right past Fred VanVleet for a layup. He might be good. I don't know. To be honest, he's looking better than Malachi, and he was a second-round pick last year. In any case, you know, Sabin Lee drives right by Fred for a layup. No help at the rim. And it's like, okay, that's not good. It's not good. It's really not good. And then, you know, the rest of the quarter, I mean, Fred, I think he had like 11 in the first quarter. Man, he hit like three really difficult threes, got to the basket for a tough two. And he was doing such a good job of getting into the paint, touching the paint, and kicking it out. And whether he was getting the assist or he was kicking to the corner and the corner man was swinging to the guy at the top of the floor and that guy was hitting the threes with the hockey assist. Fred was doing a good job. And by that, I mean, he was carrying the whole team. Of course, the Raptors just were playing no defense. And you can always tell, man, if the Raptors don't play defense in the first quarter, that game is a loss. I mean, listen, you can also just turn on a TV and tell that the Raptors are playing, that's a loss. But in any case, you know, Fred was kind of holding them together a little bit and then he checked out. And then it just completely fell apart. The Pistons bench just washed the Raptors, which happened all three games. The Raptors have played. The Pistons have just washed the Raptors, no matter who the Raptors have put out there. It doesn't really matter. And, you know, you, like 6 minutes into the second quarter, the Raptors are down 21 to the Pistons. And I'm like, yo, the game is over. And there's not really a hope of making a comeback. You can just tell the guys didn't have it. Like the frustration was, they were giving into their frustration rather than sort of like maintaining their composure to make a comeback. I mean, listen, at the bare minimum to make a comeback, you need to be composed, you need to be together, and you need to get stops and defend. And the Raptors have just been unable to stop the Pistons, who are not a good offensive club. I know we probably watched way more Raptors games than any other games, and nobody ever watches Pistons games, not even like Pistons fans, I don't think. But at the same time, I have to tell you, the Pistons are not a good offensive club. They don't do this all the time. It's just that the Raptors get washed by this team. And it wasn't, oh, you know, Wayne Ellington got hot or Sadiq Bey got hot. Although Sadiq Bey made some tough shots. Whatever. I like him, man. I mean, let's go back to listen to the draft preview podcast. I thought if the Raptors somehow saw Bey on their board at 29, they should have drafted him. Absolutely. But I'm not pretending to be a draft expert by any means. I'm, you know, just like to brag when I'm right. But in any case, yeah, like they just... The Raptors are just not there. Like, they're just not there. They're kind of there in body, but they're really not there in mind and spirit. And you can see this team falling apart in ways that are very uncharacteristic and very ugly and very sad to watch, quite frankly. Of course, we love this team. You know, obviously, a lot of these characters we've seen throughout multiple winning seasons. We've seen them go to the championship and win. And we even last season, we saw them have the second most wins in the NBA and go to a game seven in the second round. Like, we've seen lots of good things from this club. We've seen a lot of, you know, attachment. And I think when we turn on the TV, that's what we're trying to hope to see. We're trying to see some of that fight. We're trying to see some of that composure. We're trying to see some of that execution that led them to be such a good defensive club and also, you know, decent offensively. But, I don't know. I mean, when you turn on a TV nowadays and watch the Raptors, you should really only be expecting one of two things, okay? One, the type one of the Raptors games right now is they fight really hard and then they find the most excruciating way to lose possible. Whether that is... And they have found so many ways to lose. I think, you know, watching the Raptors in the last, like, 7-8 years, like, I have been spoiled in, like, you know, seeing wins over and over again. And I really have just seen ways the Raptors have won, whether that's on defense, whether that's with, you know, making the extra pass, whether that's running a great, you know, execution, you know, out of a timeout for the final play. Like, you know, we saw Corey Joseph on the Pistons tonight. Corey Joseph hit a game winner against the Wizards because the Raptors ran a great play going to the corner and Corey Joseph got in a pass from DeMar DeRozan. We've seen the Raptors win on a number of ways. You know, we've seen Kyle take charges for the win. We've seen all these sort of stuff, right? We've seen the win just getting offensive rebounds and shit. Like, all sorts of ways to win. And now, this season, we are finding out all the ways that it is possible to lose. The other game against Portland, you know, the way to lose was playing Stanley Johnson and Chris Boucher down the stretch against Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. Like, that was not going to work. You know, we've seen Pascal drive to the rim and miss a finger roll. You know, we have seen guys turn it over before the last shot is even fired. Like, it's that kind of year for the Raptors. So, but that is the type, that's almost the best case scenario when you watch a Raptors game. It's like, you watch, you see them compete, you have that fight early on, they have a lead, usually comes apart in the third quarter or the fourth quarter, they get a real long cold stretch, and then they battle back, and then they fall short. That's type one. And then the other type, number two, is they just have no ability to play hard. They're not playing together. They're not defending. And they just get washed. And the sad part is, over the sweep of the by the Pistons, the Raptors have seen the full gamut of Raptor fan emotion at the moment. You have, you know, on one end, just like really dispiriting. And I mean that in terms of like, that loss to Portland yesterday was so dispiriting, you know, because they lost in close fashion, because they played good, but then, of course, they also played really bad for one quarter, but because, of course, we just seen the trade went on. I'm sure Gary Trent Jr. wanted to stick it to the Blazers. I'm sure Norm wanted to stick it to the Raptors. You know, there was that, you know, element as well. And it's dispiriting to the point where you watch this game and you see the Raptors not there mentally. That fight that they had yesterday was not there today. So that's one end of the spectrum. And then the other end of the spectrum is just like, you know, almost dissociating. Like, you don't even, like, the Raptors are there in body, but not mind. Like, and they're making mindless plays. I mean, by like, you know, you'll just see, like, in the end of the second quarter, for example, which was the worst quarter for the Raptors today, was the second quarter. That I mean, they were just terrible. I don't want to look at the numbers. They were just bad. Just take me my word for it. They were bad. But there's one play where they're running their staggered screens option for the guy in the corner. And right now it's for Fred in this case. And Fred comes up to receive the ball from Malachi Flynn, who's handling on the other side of the floor. And the goal is to have Fred come across the two screens, and either he's wide open for the three, or he has his man trailing behind him, or he's tight, and maybe he curls and heads towards the basket, okay? And what happened was Stanley Johnson just bailed on the second screen and just, like, I don't know, forgot the play, miscommunicated, didn't hear the play. I don't know what happened, but Stanley turned around to receive the ball as if the play was for him. And it was like, yo, you guys have to know what play you're running, right? Like, what play you're running? Like, that's a very basic thing at all levels of basketball. Like, freaking grassroots basketball, AAU basketball, like, middle school basketball. Like, you know, if you're running, like, just, like, three-on-three in the park, like, you should know what's happening, right? Like, you can't have two guys come expecting the ball. Like, simple stuff like that. They're blowing. Their defensive assignments are blowing. And you can see the broadcast. Like, once a game, somebody pulls Chris aside and says, yo, this is what you did wrong defensively in that possession. And I'm not even missing out Chris Boucher. He might just be the worst defender of it, though. But there's no cohesion defensively. They make errors. And it kind of goes up and down the roster, really. Because, you know, you saw Fred. I'm not trying to single anyone out, because it goes from the top to the bottom. First play of the game, Fred allows a drive-by, like literally a blow-by right to the basket. That's bad. No help at the rim. That's even worse. That means no one was paying attention on that play. Like, yo, that's the first play of the game, you're not paying attention? Like, what's on your mind? What's on your mind? What's good on Netflix? Are you watching, like, the, like, are you watching Ugly Delicious and you're thinking about, you know, what Dave Chang might do next in terms of freaky Asian food? I don't know. But anyway, like, what is on your mind? Like, Pascal, what's on your mind? Like, he picked up two fouls, like, right away and was complaining the whole game to the referees. And every time, he would complain. And I'm like, all right, refs are screwing the Raptors again. And then they show the replay on Sportsnet. And it's like Pascal pushing a guy in the back for a rebounding position. And it's like, yo, doesn't matter if you're a star. Doesn't matter if you got a max contract. Like, that's a foul. Foul is a foul. Like, a foul is a foul. And that's just kind of what it is, right? So, you know. And Pascal was in foul trouble the whole game. He picked up his fifth foul, like, 8 minutes into the third quarter. And it's like, yo, when you know you have four fouls, don't foul a guy on a box out. Like, what are you doing? And then, of course, the final play of the game, he gets fouled down on a box out. And you know what? I don't fully blame him for that, because, yo, Pascal's not supposed to be playing center, right? Pascal is a big, I guess, but he's, like, small forward size. Like, when you see him play against Jeremy Grant, they're the same size. Jeremy's probably a little stronger than him, especially since Pascal had COVID and lost all that weight. But, like, you know, they should have a center down there so that someone small is not having to overcompensate and pick up all these fouls. That's stupid. But, of course, that's another issue that we can talk about. But it's just the team is not together. It's sad looking at this team. It's sad when the camera pans over to Kyle Lowry and he's got the prayer hands on in a game against the Pistons and the Raptors have no chance of winning. It's sad when they pivot over to Nick Nurse and he looks dejected. I mean, Nick Nurse looks like a little boy lost in the mall without their parents. Like, he's like walking around Sherway Garden at the moment in like the big Roots store that's there, or the Big Bay that's there, and he's like looking for his parents. Like, that's what he looks like from the jump. And over the course of the game, it's bad. And the execution just has to be a lot better from the guys. Like, and you know, I think they have it in them to compete. And of course, you know, you can always point to that. You can always say, well, you know, we can compete with the teams. We've seen the Raptors even beat teams, right? I mean, it's been a while since it's literally been over a month since the Raptors beat anyone other than the Houston Rockets, who also beat them. So what does that really say? But, you know, like, this team is just, I don't know, man. If it's a circumstance, if it's whatever, like, I get it. Like, it's a bad season, for sure, right? Nobody signed up for this, right? But at the same time, like, I don't know, man. Like, there has to be, like, a level of, like, not even just, like, professionalism. There has to be a level of professionalism that goes into this, no? And I know that's rich coming from me. Like, I'm unprofessional as hell on my job. But I'm just saying, like, there has to be some sort of, like, care factor that goes into all these games. Like, there has to be a care factor that allows you to guard the Pistons better than letting them shoot 51% from the field, including 50% from three. Wide open threes these guys were hitting. Wide open. Like, what about rebounding? What about all these other things? Like, the mistakes. I mean, like, you know, you got Hamidou Diallo, who's like 6'4", on the Pistons bench, having 10 rebounds. And no one on the Raptors had more than 6. Like, you know, that. How's that right? And Hamidou just got there. You know what? You want to know a crazy stat about the Pistons? This is the craziest stat about the Pistons that I've ever seen. I haven't seen that many Pistons stats. Whatever. This is one of the craziest stats about the Pistons this year. Their longest tenured player is Sekou Doumbouya, who, you know, famously Dwayne Casey compared to Pascal Siakam, because Dwayne Casey has this, like, rare condition where he compares every player to Pascal Siakam. He did it with Bruce Brown and stuff like that. I mean, you know, every player he sees Pascal Siakam in that player. In any case, Sekou Doumbouya is the longest tenured Piston. And do you know when Sekou Doumbouya joined the Pistons? It was last season. He got drafted to the Pistons last year, 15th overall. So we're looking at a roster. For the most part, they have more new players this season than they have returning players from last season. Most of their main core guys are different and been swapped out. And they still have given great efforts. Like, when you've watched the Pistons play the Raptors the last three games, they have played with a swagger. They have played with a confidence. They have played with a belief that is way beyond a team that is 13-33. Like, yo, they got a worse record than the Raptors. Like, the Raptors are, you know, like, four and a half. And you know, like, the Pistons, like, yo, literally 25% of their wins are against the Raptors. And yet, they have played with this swagger and confidence that the Raptors have just been completely bereft of. And that sucks to watch. Like, it just is. Like, how many times are the Raptors going to play the Pistons and get bullied by their rookies? Like, Isaiah Stewart comes in, makes all these tough threes and makes these confident threes, and he's beasting guys down low. And Frank Jackson comes in, and he's just a random guy who they picked up, playing hard as hell, giving them 12 points off the bench. Diallo, he's just got there for, you know, I don't know how most of the players got to the Pistons, okay? But in any case, Diallo's just there giving them 19 and 10. Corey Joseph just arrived for DeLon Wright. He gets you 17, 5 and 5 off the bench. You know, like, who's this guy named? Tyler Cook? Who is this? Who is that? Like, you know, Tyler Cook comes in and plus 15 in 13 minutes, gets a tough and one to drop off a baseline cut, is staring down our guys, and it's like, yo, what's going on? Like, how many times is this going to happen this season? It has been a tough year for the Raptors, I understand, but, you know, there are just kind of layers to how low they can get, and we keep seeing that now. And, you know, if you say the Raptors are tanking, I will say yes. The circumstances of this will be such that the Raptors will end up in a season that has been tanked. But was it intentional? Was it the plan from the start of the year? Was it even the plan of the trade deadline? You can tell me maybe the plan of the deadline was to tank. I mean, they were trying to sell. They did, but they sold halfway. They didn't sell their most important trade piece, which was Kyle. Right? And you know, it's hard to say you sold when you didn't sell the main guy you wanted to sell. And it's also hard to say that you were tanking intentionally from the start when the Raptors came into the season with all intentions of being competitive, as they always are, and they just are what they are. I mean, it's tough to watch. And I do feel bad for some of these guys. I mean, all of these guys, really. The circumstances are bad. But, like, come on, man. Like, you don't think it's bad being a Piston? And, yo, you still have to have, like, a belief and swagger about yourself, man. I mean, it goes along in any facet of life, but especially as a professional athlete. You got to believe you can do some of these things. And the Raptors kind of lack belief. They lack belief tonight. And, you know, they made a little push at the end. I mean, I don't even want to talk about that. I mean, it's not a real push. In terms of some good things that happened, I thought Fred got off to a great start, but then really cooled off, started taking some bad shots, started forcing it. I don't like that Fred only had one assist. It's not enough. I understand people weren't really hitting, but at the same time, one assist is too low as a guy, especially who had the ball tons, like 20 shots tonight for Fred. One assist, that's not acceptable. But he did get off to a good start. Fred got pissed, and he kicked the stanchion at one point. And then, you know, he left the game with, you know, a strained knee, and he finished the game, so hopefully he's okay. But, of course, he is one of the minutes per game leaders in the NBA this season, and it's going to be very tough to replace what he does, or just to not have him on the roster. I don't think the Raptors have won this season without Fred. What else? OG had some nice moments. You know, he's really trying to expand his skill set. I know you still look at 6-for-12 as 6-for-12, but in a game where no one was really creating, OG has really been forced to create more, take more shots, be more aggressive. And I like what I'm seeing for sure. Like, I think one really tangible small thing today, I mean, it's like maybe it's insignificant, maybe it's just a one play, and maybe I'm reading too much into it. To be honest, how much do you really want to read into everything that happens right now? I mean, it's there's not a lot of good things to read into. Let's look at the positives. You know, the other game, as I mentioned, after the Raptors lost to the Blazers, you know, there were a few possessions where OG was trying to drive it against Yusuf Nurkic, and I said the more prudent move would have been to go for a jumper there instead of trying to take a center all the way to the basket and beat him at the rim. It's not like OG's not strong. It's not like OG's not long and not crafty, or even that he doesn't have good touch, because he does. But that's just not the smart play. And part of being a good offensive player is making the right reads, making the right having an understanding of what to do at each specific moment. And we saw today, for example, when he had Mason Plumlee isolated one-on-one, drove on Plumlee, got him to back up, and then pivoted, turned around for a short turnaround jumper. And I love that. You know, I think that's an example of a guy getting reps that are productive, that are going to benefit him long-term. And that's the goal right now. It's development. When you tank, the key word is, the nice way to say tank is development. That's tank in French, and développement. And that's what OG is doing right now, is a lot of développement. And I think it's going to be useful. I think obviously there's going to be good sequences and bad sequences. The one thing I don't like is the fact that he has to play center, and I really don't even think the Raptors should even allow him to do this for the rest of the year, only because, as I asked him post-game, like, OG, you've been playing center. A lot of these guys are bigger, taller, stronger than you. OG's obviously very strong. I'm not trying to insinuate he's not strong. Just like, yo, there are some, like, 7-footers in the NBA. And, you know, if he has to box out a guy like Isaiah Stewart, who's, like, 260 pounds, how's that feeling for you physically? And he even admitted that, yes, there are bumps and bruises, and it's sort of taking its toll. And, yeah, I mean, I don't want to see, you know, as my guy Sahal pointed out on Twitter, you know, it's not even fair to pass on OG to, like, constantly wrestle with these guys. Like, what are you doing? These are arguably two of your most important players in the franchise moving forward, along with Fred. How are you just going to make them play out of position? Like, even if we're tanking, that's fine, man. That's fine. We can tank. Just sign a big. Just to bring them in so that, they just at least take on that toll. Because, like, you're not going to win playing this anyway, and even if you, and you know, at least you would avoid some of the wear and tear. And you could still lose with a replacement level center. I mean, damn, you see Aaron Baines coming in all the time. So, I liked what OG did today. You know, confident in his corner threes, driving inside, making cuts, some hard fouls. But yeah, OG, you know, 19 points consistently, three blocks, consistent production since he's returned from injury. Pascal, I mean, he made three baskets late, but just was a non-factor throughout the course of the game. It did a good job of setting other guys up, I guess. You know, the Pistons did double him quite a bit, but I don't know. Bad game for Pascal, man. Stop fouling out. Like, this is ridiculous. Although, to be honest, this is where, again, having a center would help, because then Pascal's not having to box out bigger dudes. And when you have to box out bigger dudes, you got to try some things, and maybe you pick up some, rebounding fouls, which, like, man, it's, you know, that only makes it worse, because you don't get possessions, and B, one of your most important players gets in foul trouble. Like, again, the front office needs to come in and get a big. I don't even care, like, some great buyout big. I don't want them to, you know, go get, like, Blake Griffin or LaMarcus Aldridge, Andre Drummond, even Gorgui Dieng. These guys are way out of their class. I just mean, who led the G League in rebounding? If that guy's available, bring him in, just put him in the center so that these guys don't have to play center, because it's outrageous at this point. Gary Trent, I liked his game tonight. 15 points, 38 minutes. Found his offense a little bit more, which is really nice to see. I just think it's realistically, he doesn't fully know the offense yet, and that's obviously not bad for him. But that's not on him. But at the same time, like, you want to see him be involved in the offense. You want to see what he can do and what the team wants him to do and what he likes to do, so that everyone can kind of work together. Obviously, he's here for the long term once he's re-signed this summer. And yeah, Gary is, I liked his game tonight. I mean, he had the play of the game where, I mean, you know, Gary made a cut, down the middle of the lane on the Pascal post-up or something. Pascal hit Trent with the pass, and Trent, while catching the pass, He's mid-air, spins 360, whips a pass, no scope, 360 no scope to OG in the other corner. And OG was able to knock down the three. I mean, it was a very pretty play. Very, very pretty play. And that was great to see. Apparently, Trent and OG are sat beside each other on the plane on the way to Detroit from Tampa. And they apparently talked the whole plane ride, which, I mean, good for them. You know, good for them. They're both like 22. I think OG's 23. Gary's 22. So finally, we have a player younger than OG. Seemed like they both love PlayStation. They both love fashion. Clearly, both big basketball players. Like, you know, just become friends. It's nice. You know, they're probably the two guys on the team that have the highest Q rating at the moment. So, yeah, it's nice to see what Gary can do. Knock down some threes early on. I think the Raptors can probably run a little bit more for him. And I think one thing that Gary kind of talked about today in the presser was just like, he likes the ball at a specific spot. And that's something that's very, you know, specific, but it's also important because every shooter has a specific motion, you know, and I forget who pointed this out. I really want to give credit because it's really astute observation. But a guy like Gary, his form, he has a bit of a dip on his shot. So he likes to bring the ball up from lower, which generates more power on the shot and maybe create more distance, more arc, whatever. But the point is that the fact that the ball starts lower and then he lifts it over the course of his body generates some power in his shot. And that's a big part of what makes him successful as a shooter. So, of course, that being a preference, other guys need to learn where Trent likes the ball, just like everyone else needs to learn where everyone else likes the ball. And that's a learning process. But I was encouraged by what I saw from Trent today. His best game as a Raptor. So, I mean, aside from that, Boucher, you know, four blocks, but didn't really play great on defense. I don't know, that's some sort of, you know, it's like an anomaly. It is what it is. You know, it's like, I don't know, it's like when you see guys lead the league in steals, and like half the time that means they're a gambler. Like Allen Iverson leading the league in steals. Like, come on. Utah came in, gave great energy. I love that he rebounds. Just play him more, man. Play him. And I think one of the reasons Utah hasn't gotten minutes is I do think that, like, the Raptors have needed this size, right? Because Boucher has, you know, not been able to play center. He's been playing power forward a little bit more. A lot more. And that means someone else has to play center. And they need that size. So, like, Stanley and Baines are in there. I mean, honestly, just play Utah, man. Utah rebounds just as well as both those guys. And, you know, like, you say, oh, yeah, play Aaron because he's strong. He's big. It's kind of big for nothing. One rebound in 9 minutes after zero the other night. Like, you know, even the broadcast is dissing them. And the broadcast is nice. Like, literally the broadcast is owned, our co-workers with the players. They're owned by the same company. They are, you know, Sportsnet and are the people who own the Raptors, right? So they are co-workers. And yet you are hearing lines on the broadcast, you know, Matt saying just out of nowhere when Baines checked in, no rebounds for Baines last night. And Leo saying, yeah, but, you know, he had some physical fouls. And I'm like, what do you mean, but? I mean, you mean and. The words are important there because, you know, having physical fouls did not do anything to dispel what he did in terms of not rebounding. And then Baines missed a wide open three. And Leo just says, all teams will give him that all night long. And it's like, damn, people are fed up. People are fed up watching this. And you know, I can't blame them, really. I can't blame them. In terms of your three stars from tonight's game, I will put Gary Trent as the first star. I said after yesterday's podcast, you know, after Rodney got his first, you know, his first star of as a Raptor, I'm hoping Gary follows suit. And he does. First star for Gary, 15 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. I like that he played under control. I like the shots that he took. They were, you know, they were decent. They were within rhythm. You know, I do want to see him get more than a mid-range pull-up because I do think that you're not going to create too much for your teammates when you're looking for that mid-range pull-up unless defenses really guard you up there, like DeMar, for example, and you can draw fouls on it. But I like that he took it hard to the rim in transition one time, made some good passes, made some good cuts. I like Gary, man. Intuitive player, seems like a guy with good vibes. And if he's already friends with OG, then he's definitely friends with everybody. Then he's definitely a friend to everybody in the Raptors community. Second star, speaking of OG, that's OG. Unfortunately, his streak of first stars is snapped. But 19 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 blocks for OG. 6 of 12 shooting, 3 of 8 from 3, 4-4 from the free throw line. Yeah, he's doing his best out there. And I mean, if you look at his direct assignment, Mason Plumlee, you know, didn't really score much. 3 turnovers, 5 personal fouls. OG was up in people's face. It's just unfortunate OG can't guard everybody because, you know, well, I mean, if they could, I mean, the Raptors would be the greatest team ever because OG is literally a lockdown defender at every position. But yeah, OG did well, and I like seeing him expand his skill set. And then third star, not a lot of places to go with this. I'll go with Fred, mostly just for his first quarter performance. I mean, he, the rest of it was bad, but no one else on the team even played one good quarter outside of Gary, OG, and Fred. So yeah, 22 points for Fred, 5 rebounds, only 1 assist. That's disappointing. But it is what it is. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, it's got to go to Amidou Diallo. 19 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, a block, 2 steals. Kind of giving you a little bit of what Derrick Jones Jr. gave the Blazers last game. You know, both of them obviously being dunk champions with the freakish athleticism, the activity. The Pistons bench just came in and out-hustled the Raptors, which... Yo, the Raptors bench aren't going to score, at least hustle, and they don't even have that. So, but there's a lot of places to go with this, man. Corey Joseph was there. Isaiah Stewart was there. Sadiq Bey was obviously killer, as he was once again. Saben Lee, but I'm tired of seeing this team, and I'm so happy the Raptors are done playing the Pistons. Because, yo, man, Dwayne Casey has really swept the Raptors in 2 of the last 3 years since being fired. And that's tough, man. But, you know, listen, I'm happy for Dwayne. Obviously, he's been swept many times in his career, and... you know, it's, listen, any way you can get it back, you got to do it. So, I'm sure he's thrilled. And, you know, for the Raptors, I mean, you know, I guess they could regroup and play against OKC the next game. So, we'll see what happens. You know, Raptors are obviously down bad, but maybe they can get out of it. So, I appreciate everyone for listening. My goodness. Like, if you are listening, if you're looking for more Raptors content after watching that Pistons game... I would just have to say thank you, but at the same time, love yourself. But in any case, yeah, I appreciate it very much. If you want to see more Raptors content like this, subscribe to the Raptors Reaction Newsletter. Getting a lot of emails in, which is great, fantastic. I love exchanging notes with the listener and getting people their chance to have their say on the team. Oh, by the way, if you're sending in questions to the mailbag, just keep them a little bit shorter because obviously it's going to look bad if I publish like 6 paragraphs. So I'm having to summarize some of these. I don't mind it though. I don't mind. I'm just saying like get your thoughts out for sure. But I think being succinct is, you know, as coming from an editor, being succinct is a virtue when you write. But in any case, I appreciate it. Subscribe to the newsletter. I'm going to drop a link to it in the podcast description. And yeah, the Raptors have a day off tomorrow, so that's fantastic. We're going to really need it, and I'll be back when the Raptors play the Oklahoma City Thunder. See you guys.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.